the rest of the story. What a show! Was Gardner Q. Colton's so-called grand exhibition, staged at the magnificent Broadway Tabernacle Theater, New York City, and I mean, how popular ought a Broadway production to be when the producer promised to get everybody high? I mean, drug high, stoned. Everybody willing among the audience of 4,000, and thus did the spectators themselves become the show. There was brawling, fist fights, riotous laughter, all sorts of unseemly, uninhibited behavior. One juiced to the gills, audience member, walked on the heads of the others, while another bellowed Shakespeare. 12 bouncer types did everything possible to prevent the drug orgy from reeling out of control, which eventually it did anyway. Hundreds among the thousands in attendance in a theater in the heart of the capital of the Western Hemisphere, drugged out, ecstatic, flying high, completely, legally, March 19, 1844. That's right. For Master of Ceremonies Gardner Q. Colton's super happy hour on Broadway was fueled by a drug which had been used legally, recreationally, since its discovery by English scientist John Priestley some 70 years previous. Something called nitrous oxide, colloquially termed laughing gas. 74 gallons of gas would be on hand. Colton's newspaper advertisements had shouted in advance, plenty for everybody, admission 25 cents, then the highest price ticket in town. You're asking, was there a doctor in the house? Well, there was a second-year medical student from New York's College of Physicians and Surgeons, and that was Gardner Q. Colton. Thus struggling to earn enough money to meet medical school's stiff tuition, did young Colton begin giving laughing gas demonstrations as entertainment, the grandest of which you have just heard recounted. Relatively harmless fun, one supposes, but it was no laughing matter, really, considering this. Just down the street at the same time at New York Hospital, a young patient, no more than a boy, was undergoing a grisly operation, an amputation. We know because it was described in detail in a medical feature story in the New York Daily Tribune. The boy's father gently cradled his son throughout. Operating room attendants firmly held the boy motionless while the chief surgeon dragged the saw through his twitching muscle and into the bone, while the young patient stared in wild-eyed horror and screamed in agony. For you see, in 1844, there was no surgical anesthesia. You needed an operation, you faced it fully sensing, or you did without, and often died. But either way, let me repeat, there was no surgical anesthesia in 1844, or before. Even though folks for many decades, for fun, had been stone-deadening their senses with nitrous oxide. In fact, chemists had proposed since 1800 that nitrous oxide gas, as it rendered those breathing it pain-free, might someday prove advantageous in surgery. Why, oh why, did the keeper of the keys to the cures linger so long on the threshold? For even as the New York Daily Tribune merrily reviewed a drug-induced laugh fest at a Broadway theater, that same newspaper, in an utterly unrelated article, retold a child's unbearable misery, though relief for the boy's anguish was a mere four blocks away. And now you know the rest of the story.